listen to Lisa while you're at work. WICC600.com. Back to the Lisa Wexler Show on WICC600.
In May of 2016, the Connecticut legislature passed Public Law 1630, informally called Desmond's Law. This law allows courts to appoint supervised law students or volunteer lawyers to advocate for the interests of justice in animal cruelty cases. Joining us now is Ken Bernard. He has been serving in that capacity as a lawyer on behalf of animals who have been mistreated, abused, neglected by human beings who should know better in various animal cruelty cases. And he joins us right now to talk about the latest of these, which has reached our ears, which has to do with a beagle allegedly being thrown at the window of a moving car. Ken Bernard. Hi, Ken. Welcome to the show. Welcome back to the show. Good morning.
Good morning, Judge. How are you?
I'm good. Don't call me Judge. Call me Lisa. Lisa.
Oh. Well, I need permission, Lisa. Which you've just given me. So
no, definitely good morning, Lisa. Good morning. Good morning. So, Ken, first of all, I think everyone should know that this doesn't come out of a vacuum, that your devotion to animals comes from many, many years of actually training animals to be able to assist the disabled. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I'm honored at the moment to be chairman of the board of the Fidelco Guide Dog Foundation, which is located in Bloomfield and Wilton. And in 1989, my wife and I heard about Fidelco, which provides guide dogs to the blind. They're all German shepherds. In my opinion, the Rolls Royce of guide dogs. And we volunteer to become puppy raisers, which means they're foster parents, which means we get the pups when they're about 2 months old and we keep them until they're 14 months old. And then we have to give them back to be professionally trained to become guide dogs. And that takes up another 6 months or so. And the dogs ultimately go to their, to the clients of Fidelco when they're about two. Of course, when you have to give the dog back after you've had it for a year, your heart breaks. And we found that the only solution was to get another one. So we ended up doing seven of them.
Really?
It's been just a real treat. In fact, one of our clients has to return his guide dog of 8 years because the dog is slowing down. And he needs a new one, and he lives a very active life. And so we needed a home for the retired guide dog who will be joining our family in about a week and a half.
Oh.
So Comet, a hero dog, has done its duty and is going to come and enjoy the rest of its life with us.
Was Comet one of the pups that you raised?
No.
Different doggy.
Different pup.
Wow, that's amazing. Well,
That's often incredible. The dogs, the owners will find a family member, or if they have a capacity, will keep the dog and keep two at home. But in this case, the fella is in an apartment in New York City, and he can't have two dogs, and he doesn't have family who can take the dog. So, listen, it's an honor for us. These dogs are just remarkable heroes. So they're important.
So, certainly are.
My affection for animals is pretty broad. We all have our soft spots, and mine comes to treating animals well. And I just abhor gratuitous cruelty. I don't talk in terms of animal rights because I think somehow that brings some resistance. But I do talk about protecting animals from gratuitous cruelty. And there's an awful lot of it around. Unfortunately, there's some even in our privileged community of Connecticut. So, Desmond's Law. Desmond was the name of a dog that was horribly abused. And the defendant applied for a program called Accelerated Rehabilitation, which is a diversionary program, which allows someone not to get a criminal record. If the court finds that it's a minor offense, the defendant's not likely to offend again, and other circumstances. But usually when accelerated rehabilitation is applied for, there's a human victim. And statute provides that the human, the victim of the crime, whether it's petty theft or assault or something of that kind, has an opportunity to come in and address the judge to either encourage the judge to grant the application or the terms of the application. You know, it's for example, the judge can give probation up to 2 years, and if any time within the 2 years the person offends again, the charge is reactivated. And other conditions, you go to training of some kind or whatever condition the judge may want to impose. Well, in the case of animal abuse, there's no advocate for the victim. And so Desmond's Law changed that. And I'm, again, honored to be one of the people on the Department of Agriculture's list that can speak as an animal advocate in court. And so in instances of animal abuse, I can apply to the court, make a motion to the court that I be allowed to enter an appearance and be active in the proceedings, speaking out on behalf of the victim animal.
And we're talking with Ken Bernard, and we're talking about animal cruelty and Desmond's Law, and we're talking about a case that has infuriated many of our listeners, in which an animal, a beagle, was seen being tossed out of a window of a moving car and then was returned back to its owner pending a further police investigation. And in this particular case, the further police investigation resulted in the animal, as well as a cat in the home, being removed from the home pending further criminal prosecution. The woman is apparently being held on bond, at least was still being held as of a couple of days ago. I don't know if she's made bond yet. She's 56 years old and she's from Wilton. So, Ken Bernard, have you applied in this particular case to represent the beagle?
I will be. As of yesterday, my paralegal hadn't got a case number yet. But so the court's clerk may not have assigned a number to it. As soon as that happens, then I'll have a case number. I can then make a motion to the court to be admitted as the animal advocate on behalf of the beagle.
But and what would you, I mean, yeah, tell us about these other cases. Then we can come back to this one. Tell us about other cases where you've been an animal advocate and how your animal advocacy has shaped the result of the case.
Sure. I can tell you, the one that's weighing most on my mind is one that out of Fairfield where, and I have to use the words allegedly and all of that, but there seems to be pretty substantial evidence, which isn't contested, that the defendant allowed five rescued dogs that she took into her home and left them in cages in her living room and watched them starve to death.
Ken, please don't tell me that. Please, I can't take it.
That was really a horrific one. And she's requested a jury trial, and we were going to have a trial last April, but of course with the pandemic, all the courts are closed and there have been no jury trials, so that case is still pending. That was not a good one. But let me tell you another one where I think my intervention was successful and is an instance of...
Wait a minute. For that woman in Connecticut, what is the maximum possible penalty that could be levied against her?
Well, she's looking at potentially 10 years. I mean, the court's taking it very seriously. I mean, I credit the judicial system for the legislature for enacting Desmond's Law, because the voice that I and other animal advocates bring is important and extremely helpful. I can't speak for others, but I know I try to be fair. I don't know how much time we have. I could give an example of where I think my intervention, what I know was.
Yeah, I'd like to hear it.
All right. Well, I have a fellow who in his 30s, very, very good job. He decided that the way to get back at his girlfriend was to pour boiling hot water on her dogs.
Oh.
And it was reported once, and it was reported as an accident and so forth and so on. And then, lo and behold, it happens again. And so the fella is arrested. He's got a very substantial job, and they've told him that if he were to be convicted, he's going to lose his job. And so he needed to get this program, Accelerated Rehabilitation, which, as I said, is a diversionary program, and to avoid a conviction. And I was steadfastly against it. I pointed out to the judge, look, you know, one of the provisions of accelerated rehabilitation is that it's not likely that the offender will offend a second or repeat the crime. I said, he's already repeated the crime. So it'd be pretty difficult to affirm that he's a candidate for accelerated rehabilitation. And, but it was critical to him. And I said, he has to spend time in jail. There's just no question about it. It has to be a statement to the public. You can't go around and do this kind of thing. But he was desperate to avoid the conviction. And normally you can't go to jail without being convicted. But I proposed that he post a bond, or that the judge set a bond that he heretofore had not done, and that the defendant not post the bond. And therefore, if he doesn't post his $50 bond, he goes to jail waiting trial. And he agreed to do that for 45 days. And when he came out, I said, okay, I'll go ahead with your application for accelerated rehabilitation for 2 years. You paid your price, but you didn't have to have a conviction to do it. And that's how it played out. So I think that was an example of where the public can have confidence that these cases are being taken seriously, and that the word is going out that they will be taken seriously. But on the other hand, I didn't want to ruin his life. He wasn't that,
you know,
serious.
What? It's interesting, Ken, because, you know, there are crimes that are nonviolent crimes, insider trading. I can think of all kinds of things that even embezzlement, you know, where it's about money or property. And you can argue that people are hurt. I mean, they are hurt, I guess, if their property is stolen. But it's not the same kind of visceral assault as a rape or, you know, or beating somebody up or throwing hot water on an animal, on a defenseless animal. And my argument has always been that society, this is my own thinking, just my own, society needs to be protected from people who commit physical, ugly assaults. I mean, that's what incarceration should be. We can think of all kind of wonderful, creative ways to punish people who take property. But when it comes to literally being protected, we need to be protected from people that hurt other people and hurt animals. And I'm listening to you tell the story, which is a story of terrible domestic violence as well as animal cruelty, horrible infliction of emotional distress on his former partner, and who knows what else he did to her personally and physically. And I'm thinking to myself, just to myself, as an average citizen, that I can appreciate what you did with the constraints of what you were faced with, but it doesn't sound like enough to me.
I hear you. Well,
because this guy's a menace. This guy's, whoever this guy is, he's a menace.
Is otherwise, you know, he was in his 30s. He had no prior convictions. That would have to be the case in order to be eligible for accelerated rehabilitation. There was remorse. And I could live with the outcome.
I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah, I mean.
But it's tremendously concerning in the way that the facts are. Think about it. Think about the rage and meanness, just plain old cruelty and meanness, and the rage that will cause a domestic partner to punish his other by pouring hot water on their animal. Just think about that.
I get it. That's why I'm in court. Why I'm happy to be able to be of some help. in righting wrongs. But, you know, heretofore, the animal abuse was, Desmond's Law. I mean, what the fella did to Desmond is you just don't want to see him say over the radio. The judge granted him accelerated rehabilitation. That caused a lot of outrage. And now we have, if it's not perfect, it's certainly a better way of handling these cases because there is an advocate for the victim.
And what do you expect? What are going to be the criteria? What do you expect will happen in the case of the beagle that was tossed allegedly out the window of a moving car?
Well, Lisa, you know, as an attorney, you know as well as I do that there's the facts are always more than what you read in the newspaper. On its face, it looks horrible. And when I get into it, I'll know more. And as a trial advocate, I'm allowed to sit in judges' chambers when there's discussions about plea bargaining.
Oh, that's good. That's
that
good.
So I'm not on the outside. I'm fully briefed, and I have found in the cases I've been involved in that the judges really do want to hear my opinion.
I bet.
And in order to be, you know, you still have to file a motion. The judge has to grant the motion to allow you in. You don't want to be just part of all annoying, aggravating, ranting, outrage as an advocate. You want to adjudicate, and you want to... I mean, I'm in the middle of one right now that I have mixed feelings about, where the guy brought his dog in that had clearly been starving for God knows how long. It was in terrible condition. But he was in his late 20s. He was arrested for animal abuse. But there was financial problems and ignorance problems. He thought his dog just had a disease and didn't want to eat of its own volition. He sort of brought the dog to the vet well before when he did. But on the other hand, he did bring the dog to the vet.
Different facts.
You mix up the facts. There you go. I mean, so that's what adjudicating is, which you do every
totally.
Day.
Totally. You got to go back to the facts. Always back to the facts. I always tell that to people. Whenever they ask me my opinion about stuff, I say, it's the facts. It's the facts. It's always what happened. What happened, right? It's the facts
that
determine.
The figure of justice is blindfold, right? You're supposed to look at not have, anyway.
Well, Ken Bernard, thank you very much for what you do. In the world, you know, to contribute to the ability for people to be able to be assisted by magnificent animals and the way you raise them, the way you advocate for them. This is just a beautiful way that you're enriching the universe by being in it. It's very wonderful.
Well, the rewards are all on my side of the equation. So thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Ken Bernard.
See you back.
Yep. Thank you. Ken Bernard on the Lisa Wexler Show. We'll be right back.